Grace and peace to you. Thank God for another day. We are going to talk today about sowing and reaping. Now, before you turn the broadcast off, I am not begging or asking or talking about money. But I'm talking about sowing in the context of positioning yourself to receive that which you put out. And we're going to talk about how that can work for you, and we're also going to look at how that can work against you, depending on what you're sowing, what you're planting. So I just want to put a disclaimer. This is not a message to solicit anything. That's not how I roll. I believe in working. Matter of fact, God has given me a working spirit. He's given me a strong work ethic, which I thank Him for. So that's not what we're talking about. So I don't want you to shut me off and say, okay, here she goes. That's, if you know me, that's not how I roll at all. But there were some things that I was studying this morning. I love morning devotions. I love spending time with the Lord and just reminiscing over dreams that He's shown me, or maybe just passages of scripture that are just pressed into my spirit. Many of you know what I'm talking about. The Lord just wakes you up and you can just feel like there's a passage of scripture or a particular theme in the word that's just burning in your spirit. And the Lord will just have you to meditate on that and just extract some wisdom nuggets from it. And so He does me like that. And I just love to rise early and just meditate. So I meditated this morning in the book of Ruth. I meditated also this morning in Hosea and in Galatians, as I just did some scripture references for some things that I was studying about Ruth's life, and just looking at how Ruth's lifestyle was that of a sower, a seed sower. I don't know if anyone's ever really looked at it like that. I know, you know, especially women, single women particularly, you know, sort of highlight the Boaz and, you know, the kinsman redeemer and God's going to restore and all that. And yeah, that's certainly, you know, a very major theme of the book of Ruth. But let's not overlook the fact that this woman was a seed sower. Okay, she was a seed sower. And it's my prayer that by the time I'm done, got a few moments with you all, that by the time that I'm done, that you will never look at her life, some of the attributes and character traits that she had, that you'll never look at that the same again. Before I get started, I just want to shout some of you out. I'm so grateful for those of you who have followed me. My stats are off the chain, and I give God glory for that, because that lets me know, that lets me know that I'm in that lane where He needs me to be, right? If earth, listen, and that's another seed. If earth is not responding, then you're sowing on the wrong soil. Okay, if earth is not responding, and when I say earth, I'm talking about, you know, the atmospheric earth, and I'm also talking about the inhabitants of earth, us, the dirt bodies, as Miles Monroe put it. So when you're doing a work, a kingdom work or a secular work or whatever, relational work, what have you, you want to make sure that as you sow that seed of your skill or your talent or that whatever that thing is, that there's some fruit. And even Jesus said, you know, that the fruit shall remain. So it's not something that just comes and goes, but it's something that's going to be, you know, have some sustenance to it. So I want to shout out some of you guys. From Namibia, I want to shout you out. Those of you that's been tuning in and listening and sharing the podcast, those of you from the UK, I love my UK. Listen, I always say that I'm going to retire in Yorkshire, England. I love England. I love the tradition of it. I love the history of it. I love English food. I just love it. I love the English culture. So certainly want to shout you all out. To my people in Guyana, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your love and your support. Also want to welcome those of you from Australia, those from Canada, and I'm just looking over my stats, and from those here in the good old US of A. Let's see. Let me pull this up. I've got Washington is on board. Texas is in the house, New York, God bless you, New York, Mississippi, Kentucky, Indiana, Illinois, Idaho, those of you from Florida, God bless you, Ohio, God bless you, my brothers and sisters in Ohio. Thank you for listening. To Virginia, God bless you, my fellow Virginians. We love you. We've done great ministry work in Virginia. We bless God for your hospitality, your love, and your support. South Carolina, where I was raised, God bless you. You're in the house. Amen. Graduated, got married in South Carolina many, many moons ago. Minnesota, never had the pleasure of visiting Minnesota, but we bless God for you. And of course, my home state, was raised and was born in Jersey City, but raised in South Carolina and planted in North Carolina. So God is good. So my home base, North Carolina, God bless you. This is where my headquarter church is. It's where the majority of my sons and daughters are. It's where my family is. So we just bless God for the North Carolinians who are on board. To California, I was really surprised to see that I had a stronger following in California than in North Carolina. That's interesting. I've never been to California, and I believe God is going to make that possible in the near future. And Georgia, you guys top the list. You top the list. So God bless you. Those of you all over Georgia, we've done some ministry work in Atlanta several times and a couple of the outskirts of Atlanta. And we've just been so honored to have some really loyal, faithful people of God there. Georgia has some strong prophets too. You guys are dealing with some apostasy in your region too. God bless you. But hold the rope in the road, and God's gonna get breakthrough to your area. So we love you, and I just want to bless God for you and shout you out and let you know that I appreciate you listening, appreciate you for tuning in, and appreciate your support. God bless you. All right, so quickly, we want to go ahead and get started. Like I said, I don't have a whole lot of time today, but I wanted to share in Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. And again, I'm taking some things out of context. My main theme is coming out of Ruth. And I'm not going to, you know, the Ruth book is only, what, 4 chapters, I believe. So, you know, you can read that if you're led to. But I just wanted to pull out of Hosea chapter 8, verse 7 as we look at Ruth's life and look at her being a seed sower. And most of you know I live near an airport. So this is a town where flights are coming in and leaving. So I apologize. For the noise, but you know, I love to sit outside and observe nature, so that's where I am, sipping a cup of coffee, talking to you guys. Amen. So, as Hosea chapter 8, verse 7 says, "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind." Right? "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up." So the point that I wanted to bring out there is you always reap at least double of what you sow. I know Jesus also talks about it in the parable of the 10 talents, how there's a 30, 60, 90, and 100 fold, if I'm not mistaken, 30, 60, 90, 100 fold. There is 30, 60, 100 fold. Let me look that up real quick. I don't want to tell you wrong. Hold on. Thank God for technology. 100-fold. I'll give you that scripture so you guys can have that as a reference to you. So you can build it into your prayer. I teach prayer pointers. You can build it into your prayer point. Let's see. I think I'm going to go to Matthew 13:8. That still seed fell on other, talking about the parable of the soil. Still other seed fell on good soil, produced a good crop. 100-fold, 60, and 30. So not the 90. Okay, you either going to yield a 30-fold harvest, a 60-fold, or a 100-fold. Of course, we're all aiming for that 100-fold. So that's in Matthew chapter 13, verse 8. You can also find that in Mark chapter 4, verse 20. So that's why it's good to go to the Word. You know what I'm saying? Because you can, you know, no matter how long you've been in this thing, you can always misquote. And you definitely don't want to, you know, put out wrong information. So, you know, when you think about sowing your seed, and again, please, I'm not just talking about money. If you want to, that's where you are, then praise God. Let the message bless you. But that's not really what my focus is. They have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. You know what a whirlwind looks like. You know what a wind is. I'm enjoying the wind right now. It's just a gentle, cool breeze, right? That just comes to refresh you in the heat of the day. But a whirlwind, it has a strength to it. It has an oomph to it. It has movement to it. When you're dealing with a whirlwind, it has the capacity to move things around. So this is not just you sown the wind, you know, and that's just on that dimension. But that whirlwind comes and harvests in an entirely different dimension, a whole nother dimension, right? So you want to think about that in terms of when you sow seed. I want to talk about Ruth's life. Ruth sowed character seed, respect seed, obedience seed. This is what I was meditating on this morning. I was like, wow, God, when I look at the seed of obedience. Do you know that when you sow, and we talked about Abraham yesterday, but when you sow a seed of obedience, how God will cause people to obey you. And likewise, when you sow seeds of disobedience, God will cause people to disobey you. Okay. So it's so important that we understand how this, I call it the law of, what's the word I call it? The law of reciprocity. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The law of reciprocity. It's important to understand how it works. And I know in a lot of our church circles, when we hear seed, we automatically think about pulling $20 out or $100 or whatever you're working with. And I don't want you to be confined to that type of mentality. I want you to look at your life being a seed. Jesus' life was a seed. The Bible said he planted himself. He buried himself, right? And so when he planted, it was needful. That's why he told Judas, he said, listen, whatever you do, do it quickly. If it is my time to be buried, then that means it is also time for God to manifest sons out of the earth. And you and I are harvest of Jesus's life being buried. Even though, come on now, glory can't stay down forever. 3 days, that was it. You know, because God is going to put parameters on every trial, every test, every situation you go through there. God has set parameters. Remember he told Satan, he said, listen, this is what you can do to Job, but you can only go but so far. Don't touch his life. You can touch everything he has, but don't touch his life. So for everything you go through, and I want to encourage your heart, because some of you feel like, you know, all the devil's in control and I don't know where God is. And, you know, this is not making sense. Can I just correct that erroneous thinking that the devil is not in control? Okay. He's not in control. There'll be seasons of your life where God is silent. Yes. As he was in Job's life. And that was for a time of testing. Because God knew when he gave Satan the permission, gave him the authority, all right? Because all authority is ordained by God. Even that, sometimes we question, like, God, did you really put that person in charge? Yes, God did. but, you know, God gave Satan parameters, and he gave him limits to his authority. He said, listen, yeah, you can touch his stuff. Why? Because God knew I'm going to restore him. Can I tell you something? Can I encourage your heart and just lift up your spirit? That the area that the enemy is touching you in right now, the area that the enemy is attacking you in, can I tell you that that area of your life is targeted for glory? That area is targeted for glory. That area is targeted for healing. That area is targeted for restoration. That area is targeted for reconciliation. That area is targeted for breakthrough. And so, yeah, the enemy, it may seem like he's having a heyday. It may seem as if he is in charge. But I'm telling you, there's a rude awakening. I prophesy a rude awakening to the attacks of the enemy in your life. I speak that for you. There is coming a rude awakening. God is going to show up for you the same way he did for Job. And he's going to shut down the mouths the very exact way he did with his friends. There are people who have put their mouths on you, and I'm a living witness, that have put their mouths on you when you were in seasons of despair, seasons of hopelessness, seasons of discouragement, and they counted you out. They couldn't see you coming up. They saw when you hit the floor, and they just could not see you past that. And you know what? God allowed it for a season. Same thing with Ruth. I'm getting to that in a minute. God allowed that for a season. Just sometimes you have to know what you're working with. And can I tell you something? Sometimes that there's a painful revelation in the unmasking. Ooh, boy. Thank you, Holy Ghost. That was good. Sometimes there's a painful revelation in the unmasking of the hearts and faces around you. But don't even be moved in that. Okay? Listen, don't pick up a campaign of, I remember what you did. Listen, let it go. The Bible said, don't even remember the former things. Leave that stuff behind you. It had to happen. It had to happen for you to be where God wants you to be, for you to grow in areas that you needed to grow in. That thing had to happen. That betrayal, when Judas betrayed Jesus, he said, thank you. Whatever you do, do it quickly. I have been sitting on this thing for 3.5 years. I knew when I called you that you were enemy. I knew. I knew you were full of iniquity. I knew that you had the capacity to betray me. So people of God, don't act brand new when things happen in your life and it just doesn't make sense to you. You know, you didn't see it. You may not have seen it coming, because you know what? Sometimes, and I can bear witness to this too, sometimes God will hide certain things from you, because if you would have known, you would have interfered with the plan of God. There were some things that transpired in my life, and I said, God, if I would have only known, I would have done this, and I would have done. And remember, I told you, God had to deliver me from the Jesus Junior spirit. Just want to fix it. I told you guys I got my soul in trouble trying to fix it. So there are some things that you just have to let Humpty, in some areas you have to let Humpty Dumpty fall. Okay, you got to let that Humpty Dumpty relationship fall. You got to let that Humpty Dumpty, you just let that thing just fall, so you can see what you're working with. Okay, so, praise God. How did I get there, Jesus? So you know, there's going to be some areas in your life that that don't look like what God called you. And it's okay. Just know that in all of that, all things are working together for your good, for those who love the Lord and for those who are called according to His purpose. So the enemy may be raging in some areas in your life right now. Do warfare. Paul told Timothy, he said, look, do warfare. Wage a good warfare with the word of prophecy that I released over you. Stand still and declare the word of the Lord. I shall live. I ministered to a young man Sunday. I shall live and I shall not die. I will declare the work of the Lord in the land of the living. I will declare it. Amen. So getting back to, and again, that's sowing. Can I say something? When you learn how to sow encouragement, that thing will come back for you in seasons when all hope seems lost. I was telling someone last night, I said, you have the spirit of Barnabas. Who was I talking to, Jesus? I don't know who I was talking to, but I was telling them, I said, you have the spirit of Barnabas. And you know, Barnabas, if when you look into the word of God, it means the son of consolation. In other words, he had a spirit to encourage. He had a spirit to comfort. He had a spirit to lift people up. And you know, there's some people that you know, there may be some people in your circle, you may have to pray, Father, anoint them with the spirit of Barnabas, because when they come around, they discourage me. They always say something off. They frustrate me. But so you may have to ask the Father to just, you know, endow them with the spirit of Barnabas. But anyway, I was telling someone, I said, you have the spirit of Barnabas. And when you have the spirit of Barnabas, don't you know that when you become an encourager of the brethren, that when you encounter seasons of hardship or conflict or seasons of challenge, do you not know that God will, that seed of encouragement that you sow in someone else's bosom in their time of trial, that God will see to it? And remember what Hosea said, you sowed the seed of encouragement, maybe to one person, maybe a couple of people. I'm going to give you a couple of people you sow encouragement to. But when it comes back, you have multitudes of people. Why? Because you're yielding a 30, 60-fold, 100-fold increase or harvest. So that's what you're working with. Do good to people. You know what I'm saying? And be an encourager. Be a lifter up of people's heads. One thing about me, and I thank God for, and God gave me the spirit of both my mother and my father. My father is apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, full of wisdom. But he's a giver. Man, I'm telling you, we had a meeting last night, and this man, oh God, he's just a giver. He's a giver. And the favor that's on his life will blow your mind. Now, my mom, bless her soul, she's resting in the bosom of Abraham right now. She was a giver too. So it just by natural order of inheritance, I received their mantle of giving. Yeah, I certainly give her finance. But I give of my time, I give of my talent, I give of my skill, I give of my, myself, put it like that, like William Dowd said, I give myself away. I made myself a drink offering unto the Lord. You know, Bible talks about a drink of how you just pour it out and it spills everywhere, right? And it, you know, when something is poured out, you can never really regain it. Have you ever just spilled, like I often spill my cups of coffee, and it's to you, it looks like a waste. But don't you know the earth drinks it up, right? The earth drinks it up. So when you become a drink offering and you pour yourself to the kingdom, God will see to it that people will pour into you. He will see to it. There was a miracle this morning. And I'm just using this just as a testimony. As I was preparing for the message, and I was just, you know, kind of hearing God's heart on which scriptures to use and which theme. And I'm going to get to Ruth in just a few moments. As I was preparing, you know, and I said, God, I said, why I get so excited when I teach on sowing seed? Because, you know, I understand what that looks like. I understand what the law of reciprocity looks like. I understand what it means to sow seed into your children. You know, so in time. So like right now, I'm back and forth, you know, my baby son commutes to college. So I'm sowing my time and gas. My car runs on 93 octane. But, you know, every morning I'm up taking him, dropping him off for class, going back to pick him up because his car is, you know, going through some changes right now. Praise God. But, you know, I get up with a joy in my spirit to take him to school and you know, pray over his day and pray over his studies. And then I'm picking him up, and then, you know, we'll go and have lunch or what have you. Sowing seed, right? Sowing seed. And at the appointed time, when he finishes with his degree or his degrees, whatever his career track is, there's going to be a harvest. You know, when I'm older and you know, maybe not able to do some of the things I'm able to do now, I put seed in the ground, in the hearts, in the minds of my children. That, you know, whenever they need something, they can come to mama, they can come to daddy, they can, you know, there are things, conversations we have that it makes them feel uncomfortable, you know? I mean, they're young adults, so there are things that they have that they want to talk about, and I always make them feel comfortable. Even if, listen, sometimes on the inside, I'm like, Jesus! my inner man just want to, I'm telling you, Lord Jesus, my inner man just wants to run. And then the prophet wants to stand up in me, and then the apostle wants to stand up. But, you know, at that time, they're pulling on mom. And it's not the time to be the prophet. It's not the time to be the mama, even though you can use those virtues, right, as you're counseling them. But it's not the time to say what the Bible says. And Jesus, it's not the time for that. Okay? So, sowing seed into your children. For those of you with grandchildren, sowing seed, taking time with them. You know, sometimes God will give us an opportunity to correct mistakes we made, you know, with our older children, with the younger ones, or with the children and the grandchildren, whatever your thing is, right? He gives you that time to sow seed and spend time and impart in them, so that when the time comes, you'll have, like my father always said, he said, I see fruit on the tree. You know, in other words, you know, all these years you've sown and sown and sown, and you look up and now you've got a tree with fruit. Okay? So, you know, sowing to see of your time, of your ability to counsel, of your ability to wisdom, whatever that, give wisdom, excuse me, whatever that thing is, learn how to be a seed sower. Learn how to have a give. The Bible said God loves a cheerful giver. That Greek word is hilarious. In other words, it's like, you know, it gives you joy, unspeakable joy. You're not given begrudgingly or out of necessity or, you know, to be seen like Ananias and Sapphira. But you're doing it because God has, you know, he's given you a heart to give. And I thank God for that, that natural order of inheritance. I receive a heart to give. It's a beautiful thing. One more scripture, then I'm getting into Ruth. So, wait, what time are we? Okay. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's the word of God. Don't be deceived. Don't let anybody fool you. Don't fool yourself. God is not mocked. In other words, you know, that can work against you, it can work for you. You can't press God up against the wall. You can't back God up against the wall. You can't outgive him. You'll never be able to do that. He will always come back and do exceedingly abundantly above all that you've asked or thought. He's always going to do, he's always going to come over. He's always going to outdo you. So you can't manipulate God. You know what I'm saying? You can't back him up. You can't, God will not let you humiliate him. That's why he said, I honor my word above my name. He would never let you humiliate him. So if you are a giver, understand that God obligates himself to his word. He obligates himself to that word. And if you are a giver, God has to give back to you. And let me say something about that. I was sharing this with my church Sunday. That there are many people who give who aren't even saved. And I know many of you have caught this principle. You look at a lot of Fortune 500 companies, you look at these philanthropists out here, Not all of them have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But these people will give. Do you hear me? They will give. They will give. They will give. They will give. And listen, because God honors his word. Now, this is not a salvation principle. We talk about principles and process and so forth. This is not a salvation. Giving is not, let me see. Giving runs parallel to the salvation principle. You know, if you save and you give, that's wonderful. That works. But guess what? Even if you give and you're not saved, God still honors his word. He still honors his word. The Queen of Sheba came all the way, amen, to sit at Solomon's feet. And the woman brought tremendous wealth and gave to the man of God. She was not saved. She was a heathen. But she received wisdom. She received so much from him. Why? Because she gave. Saul was looking for his donkeys. And, you know, they had enough common sense to say, hey, we're going to go and seek the prophet Samuel. We can't go empty-handed. Let's take, I think they had a bar of silver or some type of, you know, they had some silver. It wasn't a whole lot, but it was all that they had. But they understood that if I'm going to receive something, I've got to give something. Okay? So, and I mean, come on, y'all. The word of God we'll be here all day. And you all have no examples about things even greater than what I've just mentioned. But my point is, God is not mocked. You'll never be able to back him up against the wall. You'll never be able to back God up against the wall when you give, when you sow seed. As I stated earlier, when you sow seed of obedience, when you obey your leaders, when you obey the word, when you obey your authority figures, when you obey your parents, spiritual parents, natural parents, those God has put in authority, Hebrews, I think 13:17, those that God has put in authority over you. Don't you know God will cause your situations to obey you? How do you think Jesus was able to speak to the winds? He said, wow, we've never seen anything like this. A man that speaks to the winds and waves and the waves obey him. Jesus first obeyed the Father. So you don't get obedience. And I believe this is where some people are, because I just felt a couple folks just stood up in my spirit when I said that. But you're looking at situations that are disobedient. They're disobedient to your prophecy. They're disobedient to the prayers that you're praying. They're disobedient to the vision that you've written. They're disobedient to what you believe in God for. Why? Because you're disobedient. I say that to your love. But there are areas that you're coming short in, but yet remember, God is not mocked. Okay? You're not going to be able to pull a fast one. Well, God, I'm going to obey you in this, but Saul tried that. Partial obedience, my friend, is still disobedience. Samuel told him, destroy all of the Amalekites, utterly destroy the Amalekites. And what did Saul do? Killed everything and kept the king. Now listen, deliverance people know exactly where I'm getting ready to go. You don't keep the king. The king has the ability to reproduce. The king has the ability, amen, to raise up and train up armies. The king has the ability to for the lack of a better word, to spawn himself. You don't keep the strong man. My God, if you take anybody down, that's who you go after first. First bind the strong man, then you can rob his house. And so Saul misunderstood that principle. But to him, I am obeying. I am. And so Samuel said, well, what is the bleeding of the sheep that I hear? What is this in my ear? You know what I'm saying? So your disobedience will speak. I'm telling you, your disobedience will speak. You'll come before the Lord. I like the, who was it? The unsaved man. I think it was the Holy Spirit help me. The Pharisee and the man. I don't know if he was a big, I know he was unsaved. Praise God. And they both went to pray. And Pharisee, you know, I thank you, God, that I tithe and I'm better than this man. I'm just going to paraphrase it, okay? I'm better than him. And you know what that man said? He said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And guess what? That man walked away in righteousness as opposed to the Pharisee. Because, yeah, you tithe and you bestow your goods to the poor and you're in church every Sunday, but you're still disobedient. Your heart is not right. And the one that didn't, remember I said this is salvation and giving, it runs parallel, doesn't always run hand in hand. That man didn't have a relationship. He said, I'm a sinner. But he was honest. And God acknowledged him over the man that's been in church and has got the title. Right? So that's what the Bible said, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sow, that shall he also reap. So whatever you sow, Hosea said, you sow to the wind, you reap the whirlwind. That wind can be a bad thing. Sometimes you can sow bad wind, you know, and you can reap a bad whirlwind. And unfortunately, and I've come across this many times at the altar when people come up for prayer and they, you know, they're going through some things. And you know, a lot of times they'll say, you know, well, the enemy is attacking me in my finances, or the enemy is attacking me in my body, or the enemy is attacking me in my home. And the Holy Spirit is just talking to me, and the Lord is showing me, he said, there are areas in that person's life that they have not committed to me. And so God is saying, I can't cover you in areas that aren't submitted to me. Same thing he said in Malachi. He said, you know, if you do this, I will rebuke the devourer. So when you sow seed, when you learn how to have and again, I'm not just talking about money, people of God, come on now. I'm talking about the character of Christ. Being able, just having a giving nature. Being able to, like Barnabas, being an encourager of the brethren. Learning how to give. Let me get to Ruth before I run out of time. So when we look at Ruth's life, and you know, for those of you that don't know, because you don't want to assume that everybody knows, some folks don't. But with Ruth's life, she lived a sacrificial lifestyle. She lived, Jesus being the ultimate sacrifice, but Ruth lived a sacrificial lifestyle. She married this man who was a foreigner, right there in Moab, and she marries him. And I'm sure she could have had her pick of the litter, but she chose, you know, this man of God from, you know, Bethlehem, Judah. They were coming, had a famine in the land or what have you. And the man died. The father-in-law died, the husband died, the brother-in-law died. I mean, the whole family, as far as the patriarchs of the family died. And Ruth had a choice, just like you and I have a choice. Every morning we have a choice to become a drink offering, to become a seed. Every morning, every day that God gives you, you have an opportunity. You have a choice, rather, to choose whether you're going to become a seed in someone's life. So Ruth had a choice. She could either return to Moab with her family, or she could remain there and serve Naomi. We know what happened, right? Orpah, she tried it, bless her heart. It just didn't work for her, right? God, listen, God doesn't put servant, let me see, how do I want to say this? Not everyone has a servant's heart. Unfortunately, and I'm sure many of you can attest to this, there are some people in leadership that don't have a servant's heart. They want to be served, but they don't have a servant's heart. Jesus said, the greatest among you will be a servant. Always look to serve others. Always look to be a seed. That's the blessing. You're talking about walking in anointings and powers and demonstrations and having the elements of the earth bow down to you, having situations in your life bow down to you. Have a servant mentality. Always look to serve. So the greatest among you is the servant. Okay? So Ruth had a servant mentality. And let me tell you something. Ruth was not looking. Ruth, listen, we know that there was a Boaz, but Ruth didn't know there was a Boaz. She didn't know there was something on the other side of through. She didn't know that. So she just committed her life to service, to sowing seed. And as she did so, my God, God turned around situations for her. Remember, she sowed the wind, and the woman of God reaped a whirlwind, man. There's no comparison from what she went through with, the Bible said, a sickly husband, weak husband. But she yet remained faithful. And you would be amazed. Remember I talked about those of you who listen to my podcast, and I talked about the spirit of flight. You would be amazed at the number of people in Christ. I'm not even talking about the world. I'm talking about the number of folk in Christ that the minute trouble hits, they pack their bags and run for the hills. I mean, they run like somebody is chasing them. You know what I'm saying? They are goneness. But Ruth dug her heels in the sand, and she said, you know what? Your God is my God. Your people is my people. Where you die, I die. You lie. Where you lodge, I lodge. She committed herself to becoming a sacrificial seed. And a young woman, and we know she was still of what's the word I want to use? I don't want to say viable, for lack of a better term, but you know, she was number one, she was a Moabite. And if anybody knows the history of Moabite women, these women were sensual women. These were the women back in the days when Israel was in the wilderness. These were the ones when Balaam could not curse God's people, they sent the Moabite women. So these women, you know, kind of, you know, you have some cultures, people that are women that are just very voluptuous. very sensual, just very attractive women. Amen. Some of the beauties of God's creation. And so, you know, it wasn't like Ruth, you know, had to follow this older widow woman around. Even Ruth, Naomi told her, I don't have another son for you. Even if I got married and had a son, would you wait? You understand what I'm saying? So Naomi understood, you're giving up your life as a young woman. You're giving up your life as a young woman to serve me. And Naomi, just out of guilt, Naomi felt she felt like her life was under a curse. She felt like her life was under a curse. And you know, she didn't want to, chain this young, I want to say viable. Is that a word I want to use, Lord? That's another word. It's not coming to me right now, but you know, she didn't want to chain that young woman to her and make her a maid. And you know what I'm saying? She wanted Ruth to have a better life. Go back and meet somebody, marry somebody, and have some children, and you know, raise your life up from the grave. You know, but Ruth said, no, I'm going with you. I don't know what we're gonna do. You know, but we're going. And God honored that singing. He honored that. He honored the sacrifice. Ruth made so many sacrifices. She sacrificed, first of all, her life as a young woman. She sacrificed her family. She left her family behind. Because, I want to help people understand this, that when you hear about Boaz, she didn't just get Boaz. You know, you just don't get a Boaz. And Boaz can be a woman or a man. You know, no gender there. Someone who can restore your life. Someone who is the result of tremendous seed sowing. That's what Boaz looks like. So she paid a great price. She left her own womanhood behind. She left her family behind. She left her own vision behind. And she followed. She put her life like Jesus. She buried her life in the ground, not knowing what God had. And this is what happens when we give of our time. I know I'm like this all the time. I don't know what God is going to do. I just obey God. I have no idea. Whether it's putting, you know, sending ministries, finances to ministries, ministries, or sowing to my spiritual father or to my mentors, or, you know, helping somebody, or donating to, you know, nonprofit organizations, to the breast cancer. I mean, you know, to whatever, you know, whatever God would guide my hand to do. Or whether it's taking time to teach, taking time to mentor, holding group therapy sessions, whatever that is, coaching somebody in opening up a business, helping to restore somebody's marriage, talking a child back home, whatever that thing is, I don't know what that looks like on the other side. I don't know what my whirlwind looks like. You don't know what your whirlwind looks like, but it's a whirlwind. Does it really matter? Does it really matter? All you know is that when you take the word of God and you apply those principles in your life, it works. I tell people all the time, the principles of the kingdom work. If you work them, it will work for you. And Ruth worked it. She worked those principles. Didn't even know what she was doing, but she did it. When they got to Bethlehem, Judah, people looked at her funny because, number one, I mean, you know how folk do. She's pretty. You know, everybody hiding your husbands and all. Just, you know, especially if you're insecure. That's a whole other situation there, you know. They looked at her funny. What is she doing here, this foreigner? Discriminating? Being racist? You know, discrimination is not just by color. It's also by religion, also by culture. You'd be amazed. But they looked down on her. You know, they had and the church does this too. You know, we do. Yeah, we do. We have an elitist mentality sometimes. Well, I'm a child of the King. I don't have to do that. And yeah, yes, we are. But guess what? Humble yourself. You know, you may not be of the world, but you in here. You got to work with people. You have to get along with people. You can't be arrogant and high-minded and conceited. You know, the anointing of God, It was never intended to make you conceited and arrogant. Well, who do you think you are? I'm so-and-so, I'm bishop, I'm apostle. So what? You got to lay down and go to sleep just like everybody else. You know, you're going to be made up in your coffin just like everybody else. We all have to go down through there. So let's just be humble. Okay. But this woman humbled herself and she submitted to everything Naomi asked her to do. She went and worked in the field. Come on, somebody. Try to get a generation of young people to work in the field if you want to. My grandfather raised me and my brother up in the field, so I get it. But try that with this generation that's stuck on social media and stuck on games. You try that if you're going to have a fight on your hands. But that she went out there and she did it. She worked those fields. And even out there, people took notice of her. She could have grabbed, she could have snatched her up a man off the barley field. It was harvest time, so there were tons of men out there working. Girlfriend could have snatched up somebody. That was not what she was there to do. That wasn't her focus. Again, you can't deceive God. Well, I'm going to act like I'm out here in the barley field, but I'm really out here looking for my boo. Who are you fooling? I'm going to be like Ananias and Sapphira. I'm going to give this money, this donate to this business, this nonprofit. But I really want my name to, I really want y'all to put my name out there and let people know, what I did. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. God sees that. God sees that. He sees the motives of our heart. Our hearts are wide open before him all the time. When you give, whether it's on a Sunday or it's on a Tuesday afternoon at Chick-fil-A, and you're giving a word of encouragement or a smile to the girl at the register that's having a bad day. I do that all the time in the grocery stores, and it seems like I'm just anointed to get into a line with a frustrated cashier. I'm like, I have an anointing. God has anointed me to get in. And my daughter's like, Mom, let's get a self-checkout. But I'm like, I can't move. I just cannot move. And somehow God just, he has ordained me to stand in the line of a frustrated cashier. And by the time I get to the girl or to the guy, most times it's a girl, and she's frustrated, don't want to have speak, and I'll just strike up a conversation. Are you ready to get off? Must be having a hard day. Who took the smile off your face? Just, striking conversation to take them away from the anguish. You ever worked in retail and worked with people? You got anguish. You know what I'm saying? It's anguish dealing with people. So, a kind word. Good morning. Have a nice day. Have a blessed day. That's a seed. If you get overcharged for something, and you got to go to customer service, how do you behave yourself at customer service with your anointed self? How do you behave? Or do you say, I believe the cashier made a mistake. The price said this. I was charged that. Can somebody fix it? Or do you rage and throw in bags and carry on, but yet you in church shouting, come on. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You sow that disorder and chaos, you will get it back. Whatever you sow to the wind, when you sow to the wind, you shall reap a whirlwind. Whatever you do. And many of us, and the world calls it karma. And yeah, it is karma. But in the body of Christ, we call it harvest. And many of the saints of God, like I was sharing earlier, that I meet many at the altar, many places where I minister, and I can hear the Holy Spirit loud and clear as day. They sown some bad seeds. They put their mouths on somebody. And now, can you pray for me? I've got trouble on my job. The people on my job talking about me. And how soon we forget, right? Because guess what? Seed takes time to germinate. This throws a lot of people off too, because when they give, they look for an immediate return. Not what seed you put in the ground that you think you're going to get an immediate return. Even when you put food in your body, it takes a minute for it to process. Okay? It can take anywhere from 6, 12, or 24 hours to process that stuff out. So why, are we under the assumption that the minute that we sow seed, it comes right back? I'm looking for it right back. That must be bad ground, because I sold my seed and I don't see nothing. Who's to say your seed was coming back the way you put it out? Or have you looked at the motives of your sowing? Maybe you put the seed in the ground and killed it in the ground. Something to think about. So many times, even in the body of Christ among the saints, we are dealing with harvests that we forgot that we sowed. I led my church, my Charlotte church, in prayer a couple of months ago. And I said, come on, let's just pray. because I was picking up some things in the spirit. You know, I'm looking at the people's faces. Many of their countenances have fallen. Many of them are discouraged. They don't even reach out and worship like they should. And I went to the Father and said, God, I said, what's going on? He said, some of them got some harvest and they don't know how to deal with it. They forgot to see they sown. See, God is not mine. You forgot. You forgot what you said. You forgot what you did or what you didn't do. You forgot God told you to be here at this particular time, do this particular thing, and you didn't. You came up with some kind of excuse, or you allowed the enemy to distract you. And I'm just speaking in general. You allowed the enemy to distract you, and the thing that God required of you to do was what contained your breakthrough harvest. It contained your breakthrough, and you didn't do it. You didn't show up. You didn't do it. And so now you miss the time of visitation. Y'all, this thing is so real. It's so real. It's so real. There are some who have missed the time of visitation. When you plant the seed and God sends the rain, God sends the sunlight, which gives vitamin D, and which, you know, cultivates that seed and speaks to it and helps it come up out the ground. You missed it. And now our countenance is falling. Now we're discouraged. Now, oh, you know, I don't know if, you know, God loves me. I don't know if, and some of you are there right now. And I hear you in the Holy Ghost. Some of you are there right now. God sent this word for you. God's not mad with you, but you got to go and do some work. Number one, you got to repent. Father, I had no idea. Thank you, Father, for bringing this to my attention. I had no idea how serious that thing was that you assigned to me. God, I was in a season of, I committed folly in the kingdom. I committed folly. And now I'm suffering the consequences, God. I know I missed my season. I know that I should be so much further now than where I am. I know it, God. And it's not the devil, because the devil has no power over me except that which I give him. You gave me authority over him, so I'm not even going to play that card. It's me. It's me. When all hell broke loose in David's life, David went before God. Against you and against you only have I sinned. You, God, I did this against you. So there's some of us, like I said, I led my church a couple of months ago in a prayer a prayer of cry failure. David said that in Psalm 51:4. Let me give you that as a reference. Psalm 51 verse 4. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that you may be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. He said, God, you're justified. And that's the place we got to get to. God, you are justified in judging me in this thing. I was wrong. You're right. I was wrong, God, and you're right. It was me. And just, again, accepting ownership, taking responsibility, being a big boy and being a big girl, and say, hey, I messed up. I committed folly in the kingdom. I committed folly in that season of my life. And God, I repent. And that's one thing about God. He's so faithful. The Bible says he will forgive you and clear and cleanse you from all your iniquities. God will forgive you. Now, that's one stage. Don't just stop there. Oh, thank God he forgave me. No, honey, you still got a crop that you need to deal with. You still got something coming up, springing up. Okay? It's springing up in the earth. It's springing up in your situations. It's springing up in people. Remember, earth, we're dirt bodies. We're part of the earth too. I think when people think of earth, they think of just landscape and terrain. No, you are part of the earth too. Okay? We are dirt bodies. That's why we have to shower and bathe every day. What do you see in that water? Dirt. Okay, how anointed you are. You're dirty. We're dirty. We're some dirty people. We have to be cleansed spiritually and naturally. Praise God. So, trying to wind this up here. Just want to talk to your hearts today. But for those of you that the Holy Spirit is ministering to right now, maybe you're in that place right now where you sown seed and you only see a 30-fold return. Ask the Father why. Quit blaming the devil. Oh, the devil's attacking my finances. He's attacking my... Come on, please. Okay? Father, why am I only seeing a 30-fold return in this? Why am I only seeing a 60-fold return? Okay? What do I need to do to ensure a 100-fold return? How do I need to posture my heart? What do I need to be delivered from? What do I need to gravitate toward? What do I need to study? So maybe it's my people perish for lack of knowledge. Sometimes we don't even know, you know, that there is a 100-fold return on a thing. We just so used. Listen, you've been living your life off of 30-fold. And you've gotten used to 34. I just barely have one. I pay my bills and put gas in my car and that's it. So you've gotten used to a 30-fold return life, huh? That's where you are. Or maybe you're used to a 60-fold. You got a little bit extra. You can go on a vacation or you know, whatever. Enjoy a little meal, a little movie, a little cruise. But God said, there's so much more I have for you. I want you to stretch yourself. I want you to learn how to give yourself away. I want you to put on the real character attribute of Jesus Christ. Be a seed. Be a seed. Don't just give a seed. Be a seed. It's easy to give somebody something. Doesn't really cost you anything but some time, a couple of dollars. But you make your life a seed. Be a seed for the kingdom. And watch what God does for you. I could tell you some things that will blow your mind, but you know, you can't share everything. You got to keep something. Bible says, you know, you just can't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Or left hand, right hand. Praise God. Some things you just have to, you got to keep it to yourself. Hold your peace. But I'm telling you, it works. It worked for Ruth. She didn't say, hey, if anybody know a single man, you know, y'all holler. She didn't do that. Her seed spoke for her. And another thing I taught my church, don't babysit your seed. You know, well, God, I gave and God, I did. Do you really have to tell God that? You think God forgot? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Put that in your spirit. Put that in your spirit. Galatians 6:7. Put that in your spirit. God, I know you. I gave my last. I gave them my car. Okay. Now you're not even moving in faith no more. You're moving off of your own power and off of what you did. Without faith, you can't please. God can't even hear that prayer because it's faithless. So I got to go, you guys. I pray that the Holy Spirit has ministered to your heart. Those of you who have some corrupt seed in the ground, and you know what that looks like for you. You know what corrupt seed looks like. God told you to do something, you didn't. That was still a seed because that time that you spent doing something you shouldn't have been doing when you didn't do what you're supposed to be doing, even that was a seed, a bad seed, and you put that thing in the ground. And now it's coming up. God told you to be a blessing to somebody and you withheld. You shut up the bowels of your compassion. Now you need help and it's hard to find people. You know, now you're mad. I give all the time. I say, where everybody at? Well, what's going on with your heart? Or God told you to lend a certain skill or a certain talent and you didn't do it. And now you need help. You need something fixed in your house or whatever. And somebody has the skill to do it. God would have gave them, sent it to you for free. Now you got to pay. Or you're having a hard time finding somebody that can do quality work. That'll preach. You see what I'm saying? Corrupt seed. Maybe you're in a situation, people are putting their mouths on you, talking about you, talking trash. Did you do that at one season of your life and forgot? Because we say a whole lot of stuff. We forget. You know? Didn't take those words down the atmosphere. You know, didn't go back and say, you know, Father, I spoke a curse over their life. God, I retracted and released a blessing in its place. It's important, people of God. Okay? So be blessed with this word. Let this word ignite a fire in you to become a seed. All right, we talked about sowing and reaping. We gave you Hosea 8:7. We gave you Galatians 6:7. We gave you Psalm 51. Gave you a scripture out of Matthew 13:8. And we talked about Ruth. So be blessed. And until next time, amen. Continue to walk in what God is. First of all, be obedient. Please be obedient and walk in what God has instructed you to do. And I promise you, you're going to see the hand of God moving in your life like never before. It's not a cliche, y'all. It's real. God bless you.